하나님 이루시기 기도하십시오. To thank you for this incredible opportunity to share with you. Thank you, Tony, for giving me such a good introduction. But as you guys know, we're going through the series. We're going through the series Unshakable, and the picture for Unshakable for the series that you might have seen last week was those sort of scene from the top of the sea crashing into rocks. And often, from it as a child, I used to stand on those rocks and marvel at how immovable they are. And they literally can just take a continuous beating from the waves and all the elements, and they literally don't move. And so, just imagine that we could have that resolve and be unshakable in what we believe and in our, just in our willingness to serve God and Jesus. And so, we have a number of subjects to cover, because what happens is, as we try and be unshakable, we have these giants that come along. And there have been a number of sermons already. Heather did a fantastic sermon last week on fear. And so there's different giants that sort of pop up. And I've got busyness and stress as the two giants that we're going to try and cover today. And for me, they're like sneaky giants, because I feel like they sort of come into our lives without us really realizing. And before you know it, there are these two sort of giants in the room. And I think the very positive thing is that it's really easy actually to conquer them, and God's equipped us for that. I just want to get my notes in order here. So just to give you some background from my life, is these giants have appeared a few times. And when I finished university, I chose to go into a career of futures trading. And that's a renowned industry for being busy and stressful. And through my life of about 20 years, and seeing different trading floors and being with different people on different trading floors, I saw everything from burnout, depression, reliance on alcohol or drugs. I saw a couple of panic attacks, which I actually battled not to find funny, but they're actually very serious. When someone's having a panic attack, it looks like a heart attack. And I think for me, I would sort of find it funny, just because I couldn't believe it was happening to someone. And it would normally be a big shock in the market. Normally they'd left the office and came back, and something extraordinary had happened. And the shock of seeing that brought on a panic attack. Seen suicide and broken marriages, all sorts of things that have come from a continued environment of stress. And in my own walk, I've come across a couple of them personally, and so it's been a great study for me over the last few years, just to try and understand how better to cope with the inevitable stress that does come with living life on earth. And I just, as always, like to just define things. And in looking at the definition, I was actually quite surprised, because busy is defined as having a great deal to do. So it's actually quite simple. It's having a great deal to do. And it's actually not that ominous. But it's quite funny, like, it's almost become a badge of honor. You know, like, how's it going? Ooh, busy. I'm really, really busy. And if you're not, there's something wrong. But actually, it's just having a great deal to do. And I think everybody's got a great deal to do. And then stress is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. So as I've grappled with this, I couldn't almost find too much wrong with being busy. And I think sometimes, and I know I've heard different sermons and different people say busy is bound under Satan's yoke, or something similar, or buried under Satan's yoke, and that is possible. But I think more than that is that, are we stressed because we are too busy doing the wrong things? Is it not actually more about balance? And I think that for me is kind of where I've come to over the last few weeks of really looking at this and saying, it's not so much about being busy that causes stress, it's about what we're busy doing. And so the other sort of mindset change, I think, that we need to look at is this mindset of that we're not working for God, we're working with God. It's a partnership. And it takes an enormous amount of pressure off us when we start realizing we're working with someone, not for someone. And we've got this incredible partner, called God, like our senior partner, where he's equipped us. We've got access to God, who's the creator of the universe. We've got access to him through Jesus, and the example of Jesus living on earth, who spent 30-odd years living here and giving us an example of how to live. And then we have the Holy Spirit to draw on our day-to-day affairs and to strengthen us and to guide us and to give us, and he says, ask for wisdom and I'll give it to you. And so he's not a partner that's sort of just joined us and left us under-resourced. We've got every possible resource we could imagine. And so it's just the strength to have that, to hold on to that, to realize we're partnering with the creator of the universe. And to actually really start believing that and to taking that quite seriously. And sort of in line with that, one of the other sort of little things that I came across is if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. So I think possibly what defines being too busy is when you don't have time to spend with God. If you've got a great deal to do, but you're doing so much that you can't spend time with God, then you must be too busy, or you've got the balance wrong. So, in preparing for today, I've always asked God to reveal things to me and to give me examples of things. And one of the ways I try and bring some balance to my life is I try and get some exercise done almost before the day starts. So I wake up early and I go and swim. I'm not the greatest swimmer, but I enjoy it, and I find it quite a calming sort of thing to do. And I try and finish by 5:30 in the morning. And at 5:30 on LM Radio, there's a Joyce Meyer's little, I want to call it a sermon, but it's just like a piece from some sort of presentation she's done. And I try and make sure I get in the car for there, because as I get home, I've basically listened to this. And it was incredible because I put it on, and she was talking about Martha and Mary and that story. And I just felt like that was such a great piece of passage that we could consider as we look at these giants of busyness and stress. And so I'm going to read it to you. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is one of the pieces of passage that I've sometimes struggled with, because I feel sorry, actually, for Martha, who you feel is like getting stuck in and making things happen, and Mary's like sitting at his feet, you know. And I think what I'm trying to do is see it in the context of balance. And obviously, things need to get done, and people need to do things, physically get things done. But there's a time to sit and to listen and to spend time with God. And I'm sort of just wanting to move on from here into a whole lot of other scriptures. There's actually 16 verses. I'm just going to go through them quite quickly so you can get a feel. So we've done the Luke 10 verse 38 to 40 about Martha. Here's one from the Old Testament, Proverbs 6 verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise. So if you've ever watched ants, they are busy. They are working hard, but they've got a plan, and they seem to be directed by an unseen force. Everybody's just getting on with what they need to do. Ecclesiastes 11, sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. 1 Kings 20, verse 40, while your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be, you yourself have decided it. Psalm 39 verse 6. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. Just sort of links in with what Tony was saying for the offering. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. So people realize dreams by much effort. The seed which, Luke 8 verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. 1 Thessalonians 4, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and attend your own business, and work with your hands, just as we commanded you. 2 Thessalonians, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. I can't help but thinking when I read that about Facebook. I don't know why, it just sort of came to my mind. And he said to them, why is it that you, this is now Luke 2, verse 49. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? And Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it, to look after it. 1 Corinthians, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Psalm 46, verse 10, it's the last one. Cease striving and know that I am God, or be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And why I wanted to read so many of these is that I think it can almost seem contradictory, because you're getting told to look at the ant, who appears to be very busy. You get told that a dream comes through a lot of hard work. And yet you're also told to be still and to hear God. And I think the most important, I know that the most important thing that we need to do to bring balance to our lives is to spend time with God. And I think we sometimes misunderstand that. And I'm currently reading a book about spiritual discipline. And I want to read to you what it says about meditation, because it just ties in so nicely with this idea of living our lives in partnership, continuously walking with God in everything that we do. But this is, we're talking here about a dedicated time of meditation with God and of prayer and sharing with Him. So the purpose of meditation. In meditation, we are growing to what Thomas A. Kempis calls a familiar friendship with Jesus. We are sinking down into the light and life of Christ and becoming comfortable in that posture. The perpetual presence of the Lord, omnipresence as we say, moves from a theological dogma into a radiant reality. He walks with me and He talks with me, ceases to be a pious jargon and instead becomes a straightforward description of daily life. Please understand me, I'm not speaking of some mushy, giddy, buddy-buddy relationship. All such sentimentality only betrays how little we know, how distant we are from the Lord, high and lifted up, who is revealed to us in Scripture. John tells us in his Apocalypse that when he saw the reigning Christ, he fell at his feet as though dead. And so should we, Revelations 1 verse 17. Now I'm speaking of a reality more akin to what the disciples felt in the upper room when they experienced both intense intimacy and awful reverence. And we've obviously just gone through the Holy Spirit series. What happens in meditation is that we create the emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ to construct an inner sanctuary in the heart. The wonderful verse, I stand at the door and knock, was originally penned for believers, not unbelievers. Revelation 3 verse 20. We who have turned our lives over to Christ need to know how very much He longs to eat with us, to commune with us. He desires a perpetual Eucharistic feast in the inner sanctuary of the heart. Meditation opens the door, and although we are engaging in specific meditation exercise at a specific time, the aim is to bring this living reality into all of life. It's a portable sanctuary that is brought into all we are and do. Inward fellowship of this kind transforms the inner personality. We cannot burn the eternal flame of the inner sanctuary and remain the same. For the divine fire will consume everything that is impure. Our ever-present teacher will always be leading us into righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's Romans 14, verse 17. Everything that is foreign to this, to his way, we will have to let go. No, not have to, but want to, for our desires and aspirations will be more and more conformed to his way. Increasingly, everything within us will swing like a needle to the pole star of the Spirit. I mean, isn't that just an incredible thing? So just, for me, just sums up the importance of time with God. And I just want to use it. I know you guys know by now that I feel God speaks to me through quite practical stories. And so the one, in 2005, we had those incredible fires that came through the Cock Kloof and through Carey's Post. They actually converged on our farm. And it was like a Armageddon. We had my parents-in-law staying with us from Johannesburg. They were in a complete tiz. And that really was chaos. Our cattle burnt. Trees, avenues got pulled out. It was just chaos. And we were driving around, and I was driving around trying to save cattle and trying to save houses. And it was this extraordinary thing, because over the previous few years, we had all stopped using two-way radios because we had cell phones. And we didn't really realize the consequence of this until that night, because some towers got burnt and everyone was trying to use their cell phones, and this, basically the network couldn't cope and no one could communicate. And so you had the guys on the fire towers trying to direct operations, trying to tell people where to go and how to get ahead of the fire. In fact, they were trying to get hold of us to tell us to evacuate. But no one could hear. And you had these guys that had this bird's eye view, and we couldn't hear them. And for me, that's a bit like spending time with God. Is he's looking at what's going on. He can see exactly what's going on. But we've all turned off the two-way radios. And so we get into our day, and we all say we're so busy, okay? And I know we've all got a lot to do, but everybody's got a lot to do. A mom with a six-month-old baby that's at home's got an enormous amount to do. So is the guy that runs the country. We've all got a lot to do. But you've either got a plan or you haven't. And so if your senior partner is the creator of the universe and you're not spending time to find out what the plan is, then you're going to get stressed. You're going to get into a situation where you feel like you can't cope. And it's not maybe so much about that there's a lot to do, you just don't know how to do it, you know. And so I really believe that it's something that so many of us are missing, myself included. And so I wanted to show you guys a practical example of possibly how one can start to determine whether we're balanced or not. I actually learned this at a stockman's course. I don't think the guy was a Christian, but he did respect that some of us had Christian beliefs, and he knew how important that aspect was. So he kind of alerted, but I thought it was a really wise thing to do. And he made it quite simple, because we're all a whole lot of farmers. So what we did is you put a dot in the middle of the page. Okay, but firstly, you have to define some of the things in your life that you think need to be balanced. So I did a little bit of research. Obviously, I had some thoughts on my own, and there's some just normal things, you know, just that in the world that people consider need to be balanced in order for someone to have a balanced life. And I kind of changed them a bit. I put down 9 things. I said God, spouse, family, church, business, civic. So civic is, are you doing anything generally for the community? Are you, I don't know, helping at the local school or maybe on the town board or wherever you can, giving input into civic society? Financial, are you on top of your finances, which is different from business? Your health, and then I added one this morning actually, because I had a thought about it at about 4 o'clock this morning, rest. Okay, because Christ speaks about the Sabbath rest. And are we actually resting? Because that's important, and God's given us his principles. And then you score them from 0 to 10. Okay, so 0 is, this is not happening, to 10, you're King Kong, basically, and that's great in that particular thing. And then you put a dot in the middle of a piece of paper, and you then draw, if it's you're 10 out of 10, you'll draw 10 centimeters for that particular thing, or if you're 1 out of 10, you'll draw 1 centimeter. And basically what you're trying to do here are the spokes of a wagon wheel. And obviously the strength in a wheel comes from the spokes. Okay. And obviously if they're different lengths, it's quite tricky because you want a round wheel, and that makes pulling the wagon quite easy. So I scored myself, and then so what happens is you join the dots. So if you guys can see, the dots in the middle of the page, and then there's some things that are pretty good, and there's some things that aren't so good. But can you imagine pulling that wagon with that wheel? Okay. And I was chatting to Jono on Friday, saying to him, you know, this is what I'm thinking. We got together just for a bit of a chat. And he said, well, do you think they all need to be the same length? Which made me think, well, maybe. But I thought quite a lot about it. And I think, although they might not all get the same amount of time, you need to basically get to a place where it's everything's equal length, and preferably get to 10 out of 10 for each thing. The most important thing to get right first, though, is time with God. Because if you're not getting that right, you're not going to know how to cope with the other things. So it's just a really simple exercise to sit down and do and see where you think. And as I say, it's not about time necessarily, because we probably find you're going to spend 8, 9, 10 hours in work, and yet an hour of exercise might be sufficient to bring balance. So it's not necessary you don't get muddled up with time, because if we all spend all day running around in the gym or whatever it is, nothing's going to get done. So again, it's just to bring that balance together. And what I just wanted to say too was, again, another practical story is, I don't think one should be too concerned when you've got too much to do, or when you feel that you've got a great deal to do. And I just want to try and explain that. When you buy a new tractor, or most diesel vehicles, one of the best thing you can do is straight away put it under maximum load. And when you do that, it forces the engine to kind of get to its full capacity. So everything gets to operating temperature, and the pistons expand to their full size, and any sort of impurities kind of get knocked off, and you basically ensure, and it's sort of counterintuitive, you actually, funny enough, don't do it with a petrol engine, but for some reason a diesel engine, you will make sure that you will get maximum capacity from that engine or that tractor for the rest of its life. And I feel that God, the other thing is, you always match the tractor to an implement. So they will teach you that it's very inefficient to have an enormous tractor running around with a mower in the back. So if the mower says you need a 60 kilowatt tractor, you buy a 60 kilowatt. You always think, oh, I'll get one slightly bigger because then it won't be under pressure. But actually it's designed to work under that load. And so I think we have to trust God that if the proviso is that if we're spending time with God and we're spending time in meditation and all through the day we really are walking and talking to God, that He won't put a 100 kilowatt mower on a 50 kilowatt tractor. He will understand what you can cope with. And I think that's where wisdom comes in, and that's where the guidance of the Holy Spirit will come in. That sometimes you do have to say no. And I have like a little internal thing. I'll be talking to someone and they'll ask me to do something, and I'll start like feeling a bit of a flutter and I'll start thinking, yo, this might just be a little bit too much right now. And just by yourself sometimes. So listen, let me just think about this. And go back to your senior partner and spend time in your meditation. Lord, I've been asked to do this. Is it a good idea? Do you think I can cope? And I said, no, this is a bad time. Another year's time, maybe. You know? And literally have that conversation. And I think that's what happens to us, is that we just don't ask God to help us with these decisions. We don't have too much more time, and I know I've spent a lot of time on this, but in terms of meditation, but I just want to give a very quick indication also of why it's so important that God's designed us in a certain way, that we've got certain indicators almost from a medical point of view. So I feel quite intimidated having Keith in the back row, but just give me some poetic license here, right? But basically what happens is when you get into a state of stress, is you start to produce adrenaline, a number of things, but the adrenaline starts to come in and cortisol, and these two chemicals start having quite a big impact on us. Now, they're really useful if you're crossing a road and a speeding car starts coming and you need to move like Usain Bolt. That's fantastic. And there's stories about moms picking up cars with toddlers, which is really useful to have when you need that, like, super boost. I think Kit, the Knight Rider, he had turbo boost. But the problem is, as we start getting unbalanced and we put ourselves under more and more pressure, your body starts to live on adrenaline. And what happens when you start living on adrenaline is in your brain, it's got all these little folds, you've got neurotransmitters, and that allows little communications to happen in your brain. And what happens is, one of the side effects of cortisol, particularly, and adrenaline, is that your brain says, hang on here, we've got petrol and diesel, basically. Reabsorb the serotonin. Get it back in, because we can't cope with everything that's happening. And what they found is, when you have low serotonin, is you basically go into a state of depression and anxiety. And what generally can happen is you then see the doctor and you say, this is how I'm feeling. And we've got, generally, there's a number of different ones, but antidepressants. And most of the antidepressants work in the way that they are serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So it says to your brain, don't reabsorb that serotonin. You need it, because otherwise you're going to feel low, sort of thing. But the problem for me is that that's good and well, and it's certainly a solution. However, we're not looking at, like, the source of the problem. We're saying, hang on, why is this happening? And so just a little practical thing that's made a massive impact on my life is that what a lot of studies will show you is that half an hour of moderate exercise has as much effect as many of the antidepressants that are given. And so, and moderate, I got the moderate part wrong, because if you exercise at a certain level, because I sort of thought the harder the better, you put your body under stress again. And when your body goes into stress, you produce adrenaline again. So when you're trying to break the world record for rowing in 2 minutes or whatever it is, you can literally feel absolutely exhausted. And literally, that's what happened to me. I tried to break the record at the gym. I actually did, by 1 second. And then I had to go to Durban for a meeting, and it was embarrassing. I was so exhausted. I actually didn't know what to do. I was shaky. I didn't know. And I mean, it was like, I don't know, it was like 1.5 minutes of exercise. And then, oh, there's something wrong here, you know. And then I had a coffee, then you have more, and what happens? You have more and more caffeine to try and make it up. The next thing, your heart goes into arrhythmia, and then you land up in the heart surgeon's place because they've got to reset the heart. That's real. It happens. So what I'm trying to say is that God has designed us. He knitted us together in our mother's wombs. And he knows how we should operate. So when things aren't working particularly well, or we start feeling those things, it's a warning sign. Just hang on, whoa. Look at what's going on. If the temperature gauge on the tractor keeps going red line, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. We're in the wrong gear, or we're trying to pull something too heavy. And so there's this chance to just reassess. So in very... I just want to leave us with something practical that we can do, because I do think they are massive giants, and everyone will talk about these giants of modern day living. I think they've always been around. Honestly, I think the giants, maybe we're pushing extremes in different areas, but I just practically want to give us some solutions which I believe are biblically based. The first is half an hour, I'm challenging you. Half an hour every day of dedicated meditation. If you say, I can't afford half an hour, there's 24 hours in a day. That's 48 half-hour slots, of which 8 hours a day you should probably be sleeping if you want to get 10 out of 10, and which leaves you with 16 hours, or 32 half-hour slots every single day. So if you don't have, you can't dedicate one of those 32 half-hours to meditation, there's a problem. There's a lack of commitment or something that one's got to consider. And again, for me, if you can't dedicate half an hour to some sort of form of exercise, whether it be walking, everybody can find something they can do. And I mean, a walk, now I'm reading about a lot of stuff for dementia and that sort of thing because of what you're involved in. Walking a dog has the most dramatic impact on people's mental health. And it's documented, it's there. And it's maybe a bit harder to do than to take a pill or to, but it's real and it works. And so, half an hour of meditation, half an hour of exercise, and and draw your circle. And from there, ask God to help you use your time as effectively as you can, so that you're able to do everything that He has asked you to do without feeling stressed. And I think that's key for me, is the balance. If you find balance in your everyday living, you're gonna actually revel in it. In the same way that tractor's doing what it's designed to do. Everything just operates. It's, the oil pressure's right, the temperature's right, the tractor driver's happy, everybody's happy, because it's kind of operating how it should be. And I think that's what we need to do. It's not about so much, I've got so much to do. It's about how am I going to manage my day so that I can get everything done that I need to do. And so, my final little thing, I spoke a little bit about Facebook and WhatsApp. I said, yeah, are we going, and actually this is not mine, I heard it from Joyce Myers, I'd like to claim it. She says, are we going to the throne or the phone? And I don't know if you guys have noticed, you're sitting at there and you start feeling anxious and you say, I want to find someone and speak to someone about it. You know, I won't stop and pray. Or, for some bizarre reason, you'll start looking at Facebook or News 24. And it just perpetuates the problem. It just gets worse. And I read research the other day that shows, if you've focused on something, and you then change your focus to look at something else from a WhatsApp or something, it can take up to 20 minutes to get the same level of concentration back. So it's extraordinary if you go into the office and you turn off your email and turn off your phone, airplane mode is like my best friend now, and you focus on getting stuff done. It is extraordinary how much you can get done. And it's amazing how good you feel afterwards. You think, jeepers, I can tick that off. I can put your phone on, there might be 10 WhatsApps or whatever, and you spend half an hour sorting that out, or an hour, or whatever it is, turn it off. You get the odd, geez, I'm trying to phone you, and it went straight through to your voicemail. Yeah, I was busy. I was busy doing something else. You know, I couldn't talk. You know, and people get used to it quite quickly. So, I hope that we can just see these giants for what they are. And my heart is that we would see everybody in the body of Christ operating as God intended for us to be operating. All in a space in which we understand what God requires from us, what we expect it to do, but also the plan that He has for us. And building that relationship with Jesus, where we're literally walking every minute and referring to Him and speaking to Him and discussing everything that we come across. So if I could just pray for us. Now, Lord Jesus, we just thank You for this time, Lord. I just pray, Father, that You would help us as we try and become unshakable in our faith and in our commitment to You. And as we consider the different giants that we're going to face, I pray, Father, that You just open our mind and hearts to what it is You're trying to show us, and that we would just be able to find a level of commitment to You, Lord, and then it would become really real to us that You have got a plan for us, and Holy Spirit, that You will guide us, and You will give us the right words at the right time, and You will give us wisdom, and You'll help us to know when to say yes and no. And I pray, Father, that You would just strengthen the body of Christ throughout the world, that we would be able to work with You for Thy kingdom to come, Lord. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much, Tim, for that very practical word that we can take into our lives. Folks, why don't you join us on the veranda for tea and coffee. Just one or two announcements before we do that.